is time for a wealth tax in America.
It's Elizabeth Warren's new CNBC ad. Her campaign is also selling a $25 mug with the words billionaire tears, a reference to the tears shed by former Goldman Sachs executive, current Omega Advisor CEO, Leon Cooperman. Now, Warren calls out him and other CEOs in a new video. Earlier this month, he was asked on CNBC about her candidacy and said this.
What she's peddling is bull, total, complete bull. You know, and by the way, that comes from somebody who believes in the progressive income tax structure, who believes the rich should pay more.
He then went on to talk about the state of the country and Donald Trump in a not-so-positive way, and those tears were shed. Elizabeth Warren is running against one billionaire, Tom Steyer. Another, Michael Bloomberg, is considering running. Some analysts say because Warren is scaring away wealthy Democrats. So how is her message going? Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington, as he does every Monday. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
And people can look at the video themselves. We'll post it. You know, he seems to be just kind of crumpling at the notion of a lot of different things. But here we have Elizabeth Warren's campaign selling these mugs. Her backers, her followers, saying you can drink a cup of the warm tears of the billionaires. How's that going over?
Well, let's talk about the plan first. So in a revised plan in order to fund her Medicare for All policy, she called for a 6% annual tax on net worth over $1 billion. And then also for the top percentile, she said she wants to treat investment income, capital gains, essentially more like annual income, which would be taxed annually. So you get into the nitty gritty of it. How is it going to work? Whether it's constitutional in the first place? That conversation is admittedly a bit dry. It's very numerical. So she's serving the vegetables of punitive public policy here with a spicy sauce of calling out specific billionaires like Lloyd Blankfein, former CEO of Goldman Sachs. And the strategy here, I would say, is to appeal specifically to two groups. One, those who support higher taxes on the rich in general, which is a pretty large constituency, and those who crave extraordinary detail in their policy proposals during the primary. That's a smaller constituency, but it's a powerful one because it includes the media. The media, especially wonky media, loves numbers to chew on. So she's serving these dishes to both constituencies. And it should be said, it is somewhat working for her. Her polls have soared in the last 6 months, even though they stabilized in the last few weeks.
Well, look, there's a huge inequity right now, a huge gap between these many new billionaires in the United States and people who haven't seen their wages change. So that does exist. But is she also doing a little bit of what the Wall Street Journal editorial page, which is, of course, very far to the right, is saying? They're calling this demagoguery 101. I mean, and when they point to Cooperman, Leon Cooperman, who she mentions in this video, you know, they say, as we just heard, he's somebody who actually says the rich should pay more. Is this demonizing people because you know some people will be thrilled about that?
Yeah, I think it's useful to divide the reaction to this policy in three groups. First, a lot of people love it. Warren, after all, is the betting favorite in the Democratic primary, and her polls have soared in the last 6 months. So you can't really look at the situation and say it's not working for her because something she's doing is so clearly working. But second, there is this group, which the Wall Street Journal represents, which simply thinks it's deplorable to talk about successful people this way. You should not want to demonize the rich because, after all, we're a country where people move here with the hopes of getting rich. So why demonize the success? Third, I think we've begun to see a kind of sensitive billionaire response. There was that famous Bill Gates joking comment in a New York Times event interview where he said he'd be happy to double his tax burden, but he didn't want to increase it by an order of magnitude from $10 billion to $100 billion. And so what I think you see there is a moderate lane that appears to be opening up, maybe for people like Deval Patrick and Michael Bloomberg to argue, yes, of course, we are fans of progressive taxation. Yes, of course, we should raise taxes by a little bit on the wealthy. But talking about a wealth tax to essentially soak the rich for tens of billions of dollars over the course of a decade, that is a bridge too far.
Well, and some of the language, I mean, you just mentioned some of it, but some of the language that we hear from both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and others, Tom Steyer, who's calling for taxing billionaires more. You hear language like they've sucked out profits in a rigged system, and this is the Wall Street Journal noting this, putting the economy in a stranglehold. You know, it is that kind of language that they're pointing out. Can't you just say that we need to adjust the system? But that probably wouldn't be as exciting out on the campaign trail.
Right. I think it's fair to say that right now in the Democratic primary, there is a bias toward bigness, that those candidates that have played it really, really small ball and said, oh, I think we should tinker a little bit over here and tinker a little bit over there, they haven't caught fire. What's caught fire are huge, huge proposals to entirely change the way we pay for health care with Medicare for All, to entirely change the way we tax the rich with wealth taxes that Warren and Bernie Sanders have proposed, or frankly, ideas like Pete Buttigieg was initially talking about when he started his campaign, talking about expanding the Supreme Court and maybe taking away the filibuster. There is a bias toward bigness in the world right now, maybe because of social media or the difficulty of getting attention of a distracted voting audience. And bigness is winning.
Well, and we'll see how it plays out. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.